You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This was the moment that Vladimir Putin had just come to power.
Right.
And Vladimir Putin, you know, everyone thinks of him as being the strong man, but when he first came to power, he wasn't a strong man at all. He was this sort of very short guy who didn't have any levers of power at all. All the power had effectively been stolen from him by the oligarchs. Mm-hmm. And so he was interested in going after the oligarchs. And so we had this strange alignment of interest. I should point out right here, right now, that I've never met Vladimir Putin. I've never spoken to him. But he was fighting with the same guys we were fighting with. They were stealing power from him. They were stealing money from me. I was happy that the oligarchs were being arrested.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was happy. I said one down, 21 to go.
To go, yeah.
And so anyway, but these other oligarchs, they go back to Putin. And they say, Vladimir, and this is the fall of 2004, Vladimir, what do we have to do to make sure we don't sit in that cage? And Putin said, oh, very straightforward, 50%. Not 50% for the presidential administration of Russia or for the Russian government, but 50% for himself. And that was the moment that Vladimir Putin became the richest man in the world.
You probably knew that Vladimir was the richest man in the world, but he did it off the back of these oligarchs. We'll talk more about that. That was William Browder, an expert on Russian finance. Today is Wednesday, July 6th, 2020. I'm Randy Mayfield, sitting in for my friend Larry Connors, and you're listening to Larry Connors USA. We're live here on KXEN Radio, AM and FM. We're also live streaming at Larry Connors USA at rumble.com. Just enter Larry Connors USA as one word on rumble.com and listen live or listen to previous programs. You can also go to LarryConnorsUSA.com to hear previous broadcasts at your leisure. Invite your friends. So we just heard some clips from this gentleman, William Browder. He's an expert on Russian finance, the CEO of Hermitage Capital Management, the head of the Global Magnitsky Justice Campaign, and the author of a great book that I purchased and read most of, not all of it yet. It's called Red Notice. And his new book is Freezing Order. And they're pretty exciting books, friends. It's about Putin and the oligarchs, these wealthy, rich people that are running Russia. I wanted to have him on the show, and I kind of reached out too late last minute. He's a very popular guy, millions of hits. But look up William Browder online and look at his books, Freezing Order and Red Notice. And my interest peaked when I saw a special. My wife and I were watching Peacock TV. Peacock Plus, which we just ordered for a month so we could watch a couple of shows. I got to remember to cancel it. But it was called The Secrets of the Oligarch's Wives. Very interesting program. And if you want to hear what's really going on in Russia with the leaders, you talk to their mistresses and their wives. I'm telling you, they revealed some stuff. I don't know if they're all still living, because that's another issue that happens in Russia. When you talk, you die. But we'll see what's happening. But it was a great documentary. It featured Sergei Magnitsky, who is the lawyer of William Browder, who we're just talking about. And his lawyer is featured predominantly in this documentary and eventually ended up dying in a jail in Russia because he was accused of doing some things he didn't do, mostly stealing $230 million, which the Russian government actually stole and hid and the oligarchs took control of. So it's a great documentary on Vladimir Putin. And yeah, the richest man in the world by living off the backs of others. And, of course, oil and everything else. He steals from his people. He kills his people. And now he's killing the people of Ukraine. What a great, great person. Here's one more clip from Browder, who just talks about some of his experiences that he had trying to get out of the country.
I started telling the story when my lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was murdered. He was murdered for uncovering a massive government corruption scheme. And he wouldn't have been murdered if he hadn't been my lawyer. And so it's been my duty to him and his memory and to his family to go after the people who killed him, which is Vladimir Putin and his regime. Since then, it's been 12 years and I carry on. And as I carry on, I see more and more terrible things, as we're witnessing right now. And I can't back away. I have to do more. And that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah, yeah. So it goes on. The quote goes on, but you need to look him up. There's a great story about how he did everything he could to save his friend Sergei. And Sergei was transferred to prison, to hospital, beaten, finally died. He had a wife and kids. It was terrible. So get the book. It's very eye-opening, things that we probably know. Freezing Order, and that's the latest, and it's a really good book about how he has been freezing the money of the oligarchs in different countries. So he's blocking their money like we're doing now. So get that book. It's exciting, and unfortunately, it's true. We'll be right back with Larry Connors, USA.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program. John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now. Because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life, longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Wow. That chokes me up today to hear that. Martin Luther King. Randy, why'd you play a clip of Martin Luther King? This is a political program, and what's so political and controversial about Martin Luther King? Well, if you know Martin Luther King and what he did, it's a lot of this kind of stuff happened in the world then. He was standing up for the black man, but he was standing up for you and me and our rights and our to be heard and the promise that we have. This is a day. The speech was given a day before he was killed. And he said, I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know what's going to happen now. But I'm heading up to the mountaintop, and I hope you'll be there with me. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We should have played that song. Mine eyes have seen the glory. What a great song. So it's a wonderful and stirring speech. It's not about abortion necessarily, or gun control necessarily, or inflation, but it certainly relates to all these things because he was standing up to the government for what was right and what was godly. This speech, along with his I Have a Dream, you heard that one, I Have a Dream, in the 1960s, are two of the greatest messages of all time, I believe. And I thought we could use some inspiration today. We don't hear speeches like this very much anymore. This was a speech talking about things that were terrible and negative, but a speech that gave hope to what God would do in the lives and the hearts of people in America. We hear our leaders today whining, our political leaders whining about their pet causes and how terrible America is, and we're moving further and further away from God and the truth. That is true. We are moving further away from God and the truth. But during this time of celebrating America's birth and our independence, I hope that we can celebrate that we have come a ways. We're going up that mountain. We haven't arrived there yet, and we don't know when that will be. But trust me, we're living in the greatest country in the world. I have had the privilege to travel to more than 90 different countries. I've been to China, to Russia, to Ukraine, India, Iraq. I'll go back to Iraq this December. And I can tell you, with all its problems, the United States of America is the greatest country in the world. And it will be even better if we turn back to our foundation and to our mottos. Our mottos say, out of many, one, e pluribus unum, out of many, one, and in God we trust. It's on our money. It's in every state constitution, not the federal constitution, but it's in every state constitution that they speak of divine leadership or of God specifically. And it needs to be on every American's heart. And that's what Dr. King was doing. He was far from a perfect man, but we need godly men and women today who can see the glory of the coming of the Lord. That mountaintop speech was given on April 3rd, 1968. And as I said, Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. I want to read a couple excerpts from a letter that Dr. King wrote from the Birmingham jail in 1963. And this is especially where he calls out the church. Was not Jesus an extremist for love? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like the ever-flowing stream. Was not Paul an extremist? I bear on the body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we be extremists for hate or for love? For the preservation of injustice or the extension of justice? Jesus Christ was an extremist for love, truth, and goodness, and thereby rose above his environment. There was a time when the church was very powerful. It was during this period when early Christians rejoiced at being deemed worthy to suffer for what they believed. In those days, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion, but it was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. Whoa, that's good. Let me read that line again. The church wasn't just a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion, so many churches today. It was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. We need to get back there. Whenever the early Christians entered a town, the people in power became disturbed and immediately sought to convict them for being disturbers of the peace, outside agitators. But they pressed on. The conviction that they were a colony of heaven, called to obey God rather than man, small in number, but big in commitment. By their effort and example, they brought an end to such evil, ancient evils as infanticide and gladiatorial contests. And now, not only gladiators and infanticide, but now we're working on bringing it into abortions. It's so applicable to today. This was 50-plus years ago. But things are different now. The contemporary church is weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. So often, and it is an arch supporter of status quo. Why is the church a supporter of status quo? Well, far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of an average community is consoled by the church's silence and often even vocal sanctions of things that they are. Friends, this is written in 1963, but it sounds like 2020. He goes on to say, but the judgment of God is upon the church as never before. If today's church does not recapture the sacrificial spirit of the early church, it will lose its authenticity. Perhaps I'm once again being too optimistic, King says. Is organized religion too inextricably bound to the status quo to save our nation and the world? But again, I'm thankful to God that some noble souls from the ranks of organized religion have broken loose from the paralyzing chains of conformity and joined as active partners in the struggle for freedom. Their witness has been the spiritual salt that's preserved the true meaning of the gospel in these troubled times. They've carved a tunnel of hope through the dark mountain of disappointment. I hope the church as a whole will meet this challenge in this decisive hour. But even if the church does not come to the aid of justice, I have no despair about the future. And again, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. What a great message that he gives the church. There's one other little thing I want to read real quick here. On came from a former judge, kind of interesting. A student of law took a class in political science which said this, and this was written 68 years ago. It's amazing how things written 50, 60, 70 years ago are coming right back to being applicable today. So this judge wrote this. If you want to overturn a democracy, divide the nation philosophically. Listen to these things. This is happening in 2022. If you want to end democracy, divide the nation philosophically. Foment racial strife. Encourage it. There are many in politics today who are encouraging that because it benefits their cause. Cause distrust of police authority. 68 years ago. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally.
Really?
Engender the military strength to weaken it. Overburden citizens with unfair taxation. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. Oh, my goodness. No accountability. We talked earlier about some of the riots that went on a year or two ago, and there was just no accountability. Hey, they're just speaking up. Now, January 6th, that's another issue. They were speaking up, too, but they damaged one building. BML damaged 150 federal buildings. Control balloting. Not going to go there right now. And control the media. Every single one of these 9 points made by this 85-year-old judge 68 years ago are applicable today. Racial strife, overburden citizens with taxing, control balloting, control the media, and swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately. That's pretty amazing. Well, I'm getting kind of spiritual today, and I don't want to get crazy, but I do have some notes on. We're going to talk to Bridget Van Means, who is with Thrive, and that's a group that stands up against abortion. So, again, we got to go back to abortion. I know we talk a lot about it, but this has been a pretty dramatic few weeks in the life of America. But my wife sent me this link to a YouTube video. It's called Why People Couldn't Be Pro-Choice Any Longer. Why they couldn't be pro-choice any longer. Very interesting. This is a guy by the name of Mike Winger, and he asked real people why they're pro-life and why they became pro-life after being pro-choice. And here's what they said. Just a couple of them I'll read to you. I saw my 8-week ultrasound, and I didn't see the clump of cells they said that I would see. I saw a child, my child. I wasn't choosing if she would live. She was already alive. My choice was to keep her alive or to kill her. This is a gal who was pro-choice until she saw. You're going to hear from Bridget later. One of the strong points of Thrive and a lot of ministries like that are pro-life, they take sonograms and they show the young ladies what's in their womb. Planned Parenthood says you got a bump, and whatever's in that bump, we can get rid of it for you. Don't worry about it. That's why we call it abortion. We don't call it killing a baby. That sounds too harsh. I'm not even going to go any further there. So when they see that they're through their belly and they see this baby, oh, they don't say, look, hey, look, there's a fetus. This girl said, no, there's a him, there's a her. That's my baby. Number two, another person said, knowing that the scientific community overwhelmingly agrees that human life begins at conception, from then on, it was easy. I'm scientific. I believe that humans were made in the image of God. This guy took science. Now, people say, oh, science is not said. 2,899 Americans were surveyed and asked what group is most qualified to answer the question of when human life begins. And they selected by 81% biologists. The majority justified their selection by describing biologists as objective scientists that can use their expertise to determine when human life begins. Okay. So almost 3,000 people were surveyed. They said, ask biologists, and then we'll see what they say about human life. Academic biologists were recruited to participate in this study of when life begins, and a sample of 5,502 biologists from 1,058 academic institutions assessed statements representing the biological view that human life begins at fertilization. Uh-oh. That's not good for a lot of people who didn't want to hear that, from 5,502 biologists who agree that human life begins at fertilization. Third person said, the fact that choice is decided by one person when in reality I found out there were two people involved. That's right. There's a baby in there. You see it. I posted on my Facebook page about a week or two ago. If you want to go look, it's Randy Mayfield on Facebook. And I posted a picture of a 20-week-old baby, an awesome picture inside the womb at 20 weeks. And I didn't really make much of a comment. I just said, what is this? And you look at the picture, and there is a baby with a perfectly formed mouth, nose, head, face, hands, feet. Call it what you want. When you see it, you believe it. I think Bridget will share a little bit later on that something like 80% of the girls who come in seeking their help who have desired abortion, when they see the sonogram of their baby, they change their mind. And then one of the most convincing things for a lot of people is when they saw or read a description of what a late-term abortion was like. There is some pretty heavy-duty stuff about late-term abortion. You can see it online. There's some good things you can even show your kids, that because they're characterized, they're kind of not a cartoon, but animated, but it's graphic. When you see what an abortion, there's a reason they don't show abortions in Congress. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't handle it. We'll be right back with more of Larry Connors USA right after this.
USA.
Habakkuk said, Lord, please tell me what you're doing. And God said, no, I'm not going to tell you, Habakkuk, because if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe it. If God today told us what he's doing in the world, we wouldn't believe it. Don't you think God's given up and God's abdicated and God's left the throne? He hasn't. He's still on the throne. And those of us that know him put our trust in him and him alone. I don't put my trust in Washington. I don't put my trust in the United Nations. I don't put my trust in myself. I don't put trust in my money. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When all the rest of it fails and crumbles and shatters, he'll be there.
Oh, yeah, he'll be there. If God told us what he's doing today, we wouldn't believe it. That's true, because we don't see him often. That was an interesting, we've had an interesting mix here in the last few minutes, from Martin Luther King to Carrie Underwood to Billy Graham. But, you know, again, more than 50 years ago and so applicable today, our leaders, especially our spiritual leaders in the past, stood up and spoke words of truth. The spiritual leaders we have today, oh my gosh, talking about you know, the Bible talks in Revelation, be hot or be cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm afraid God's going to be doing a lot of spitting, particularly with spiritual leaders in the world today. There's not that many Martin Luther Kings and Billy Grahams around. There really aren't. Very few that can stand the test of time. So we have one more clip. I want you to just hear this brief thing about Billy, and then we'll move on.
God said there's coming a day when I'm going to shake the world. But some things will not be shaken. Some things remain. In other words, there's coming a time when the world will be pressed and there'll be no way out. Those times come in your life.
in your home. Tension, friction, financial trouble. You're pressed. And there doesn't seem to be a way out. There is an answer. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. But in the midst of all this changing, there are some things that never change. Think of it a moment. What never changes? The nature of God doesn't change. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed to adapt himself to our generation. God is unchanging. I am the Lord God, I change not.
Well, I don't mean to be too preachy today, but it's truth. The truth is truth, and it took people like Billy Graham and Martin Luther King to say that. And maybe some of us get uncomfortable because we're not used to hearing that kind of truth. But, you know, you don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree with Billy Graham. But thanks for letting me share anyway what I do believe, because there's coming a time when we will be pressed from all sides. And it's not going to be easy. And when there doesn't seem to be a way out, Billy reminds us there is. There is a way out. Well, before we talk to our special guests in just a minute, Bridget Van Means from Thrive, I want to play just a quick clip what Biden had to say again about abortion, then we'll talk more about what we're doing here in the St. Louis area.
It's not hyperbole to suggest a very solemn moment. Today, the Supreme Court of the United States expressly took away a constitutional right from the American people that it had already recognized. They didn't limit it, they simply took it away. That's never been done to a right so important to so many Americans. But they did it. It's a sad day for the court and for the country. 50 years ago, Roe v. Wade was decided and has been the law of the land since then. This landmark case protected women's right to choose, her right to make intensely personal decisions with her doctor, free from the interference of politics. It reaffirmed basic principles of equality, that women have the power to control their own destiny, and it reinforced a fundamental right of privacy, a right of each of us to choose how to live our lives. Now, with Roe gone, let's be very clear. The health and life of women in this nation are now at risk.
Yeah, Joey, no. Roe is not gone. The federal mandate is, but states will decide. So, you know, do your homework. And who's at risk? You say women are at risk. I think maybe now the health and life of unborn human beings are not as much at risk. That's what I think. And Joe, you said nothing like this has ever happened with the Supreme Court. Not if you don't count the 232 other times it did happen, where they've overturned decisions that were made by the Supreme Court. 230 times. Folks, look it up. Your president did not. It's amazing. People are speaking out. Again, I talked earlier about how our representatives now to speak for our voice are comedians. Chelsea Handler. She says the leading cause of death is gun violence. No, Chelsea. The leading cause of death is abortion, and now we're limiting it. And again, we talked about Chicago and the gun laws, and that didn't help. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing, Chelsea, because, again, we look to comedians for our answers in today's world. And I heard people say, well, you know, a woman needs control of her body. We're going to talk about that later with our guest, Bridget Van Means. Stay with us.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
We don't have to show it. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The first and foremost thing we should do is make it clear how outrageous this decision was and how much it impacts not just on woman's right to choose, which is a critical piece, but on privacy generally. And so I'm going to be talking to the governors as to what actions they think I should be taking as well. And but the most important thing to be clear about is we have to change, I believe we have to codify Roe v. Wade in the law. And the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that. And if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights, it should be, we provide an exception for this, require an exception to the filibuster for this action. I'm going to do everything in my power, which I legally can do in terms of executive orders, as well as push the Congress and the public. The bottom line here is, if you care, if the polling data is correct, and you think this decision by the court was an outrage or a significant mistake, vote. Show up and vote. Vote in the off year and vote, vote, vote. That's how we'll change it.
Imagine your president being upset that babies will live. Mm. Well, my next guest is Bridget Van Means. Bridget is a friend. She's also the vision leader and president of Thrive, the catalyst for the Missouri Miracle, which we'll talk about a little later. She pioneered the quest for the abortion-free Missouri, led the charge with many other passionate state leaders. She's an amazing communicator and an amazing woman. Bridget, welcome to Larry Connors USA. How are you, my friend?
Hey, my brother from another mother. How are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't seen you or heard from you in a while. I know I'm gone a lot, but we've got to connect again one of these days because...
Yeah, I got to go to your concert, though. That was amazing.
You did. Yes, you were very lively there over on the right. I saw you and your friends.
Yeah, loved it.
Beautiful. Well, you know, the soundbite we just heard, the president sounds like he's from Chicago. Vote, vote, and vote again.
Yeah.
As often as you like.
Yes.
He's pretty upset that there's no longer this federal mandate allowing us to kill our babies. But what kind of good Catholic boy Joe is, you know? I mean, that's kind of sad to see a man who claims to be a follower of Christ, claims to be, and he has no issue with women killing their babies. And so let folks know a little bit about you and Thrive in a nutshell. What is it that you're about? What is it that Thrive's about? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, people will refer to me as the catalyst for the Missouri Miracle, which I know you said we'll talk about in a second. Missouri was actually two times the first abortion-free state in the nation in 2019. What was notable about that, Randy, is the way we got that done and partnered with leaders across the state, we did that through a Good Samaritan model. So the politics followed the good works of the church. We came alongside women who were in an unplanned pregnancy. We provided them great medical information, showed them what their different options were, but also came alongside them in a Good Samaritan model and showed them that we would help support them, your church being one of the founding churches,
yes.
Central Pres.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Central Pres.
Amen.
And churches and people all across the state. And so what we proved is that when a woman is given options and when she's shown the right level of support, 8 or 9 times out of 10, she'll choose life, even though she was planning on having an abortion. And so we did such a good job of that here that we basically dried up the demand for abortion in the state of Missouri. It's actually a miracle, which is why we call it the Missouri Miracle.
Amen.
And so Thrive really led that charge, but it wouldn't have worked if everyone hadn't caught on to the vision, and I know you did, and so many others did as well.
You know, so many people in the church have said, well, these girls would not have an abortion if people would help them, if they'd reach out and care for them and provide for their needs and give them some counseling. That's exactly what you're doing and what many churches are doing. So I don't know where people are coming from, but it worked so effectively in Missouri that you're now going across the nation, as I understand, with Thrive.
Yeah, we slowly but surely we had been going into other states. We're in about 5 of them now, but... as we started seeing this really insidious shift from the girls going into abortion clinics to have their abortion, they're starting to move now to this abortion pill, Randy. And that's a real threat because it makes it very easy for them, they believe, to do. It's very, very cost effective. And even if they're in a state where there are no abortions allowed, like Missouri, it's not that hard for her to go right across the bridge and get that. So we really knew that we had to take this effective model across the whole country in a really rapid fashion. So on the 4th of July, we actually launched Thrive Plus, which is our national product. Randy, it's actually going to be a telehealth solution, which will then allow us to get to the girls much more quickly and spread across the 50 states much more rapidly than a brick-and-mortar model would allow us to do.
That is awesome. Thrive Plus, we'll be looking for that to come out. Hey, so you mentioned, you know, it's easy to take the pill. I recently saw a video on the effects on the woman, though, that does take that pill, and there's a follow-up pill I think they take, that to their bodies and what happens. It's not all fun and games, ladies. It's really not. You're going to be paying the price even for taking that pill.
It makes you stop and wonder if our opposition actually wants to traumatize these women.
Yeah.
You know, they know that this is basically a woman giving birth to a human being at home without supervision or medical care. I just had a friend that had a miscarriage, and she was explaining to me that when she went to the emergency room, they had all kinds of drugs that they needed to give her to make sure that she was comfortable. She ended up still needing a procedure.
Yeah.
So my point being, it's not, as you said, cut and dry. This is a serious procedure. And the other thing that I find just so horrible, and I think many people would have seen the movie Unplanned about Abby, but if you haven't seen it, make sure to see it, because it will very vividly display what this at-home so-called DIY abortion is. And these gals think that they're going to be passing a couple of blood clots, and then they look down and they actually see a baby with arms and legs and eyes, and it's a very traumatizing thing. So we don't want those girls going through something horrible like that.
No, nothing like giving birth to your child on a toilet. You know, it's just, it's very,
very
sad.
Can you imagine?
Very sad.
Uh-huh.
So
horrible.
What is the, we've got a couple minutes here. What do you feel the impact of the recent SCOTUS decision is regarding Roe v. Wade? People say, well, now abortion is over. I'm afraid that's not the truth, but it has helped in some ways. What do you see this decision doing?
Well, it's so multifaceted. First, the cord that I know you'll find important is the spiritual cord.
Amen.
It's leaders' jobs to keep children safe, and it's our job to teach. And it was very important that the Supreme Court law be overturned, because it was an unjust law, and it was teaching children and young people the wrong thing. So laws teach, and for that reason, it was important that that evil edict get overturned. I know you're familiar with, about a year ago, Missouri finally officially renounced the Dred Scott decision.
Yep.
You know, what was the big deal? I mean, of course, the Supreme Court had already overturned it. But it was a symbolic matter that we can't have an unjust, ungodly law like that on our books here in Missouri. We're too good for that. And so we took the time to renounce that. So it is important that the laws reflect God's righteousness. The people delight and are blessed when the laws reflect God's righteousness. Spiritually, think about the fact that we now have about 25 states that are not shedding innocent blood every day.
We
learn from Scripture, right, that blood cries out for justice.
Yes.
And so we have 25 states now where that sacrifice is not happening. I just had someone I was talking to someone who specializes in spiritual warfare, and I said, you know, I know that the opposition is really, really, really serious about this whole child sacrifice thing. Why is it so important to them? And she explained to me that it gives ownership of that land, Randy. So when he can trick people into committing these heinous acts, it gives him possession over that land. So I woke up this morning thinking, he just lost half of our country, Randy.
Amen. Amen.
Right? Isn't that amazing? Oh. Where he cannot operate and maneuver as he once could.
And he is not happy, and there's a lot of people that aren't happy. What are your thoughts? We've only got about a minute left here, but what are your thoughts on even our own Congressperson Cori Bush, who says, well, then let's just use federal funds and federal land. We just got it out of the federal stream, and now she wants to use federal. What's going on there?
Well, I think we just have to really make sure that we understand that these people are pandering for votes. This is where they've decided that they have a voting block that they can secure by being crazy rabid animals. So we have to respond with a very, continuing to be extremely strategic and effective. But Randy, this is your middle name, love. You're the love guy,
Amen.
Right? You've walked in grace and love. You know how powerful that is.
Amen.
You know there's no law against it. So it's going to just be really important that we walk in love and continue to speak the truth in love and take loving actions like the Good Samaritan did.
Amen. And you're a great leader in that army of love as well. You're amazing. We've got just a couple seconds left. How can people get a hold of you or the work of Thrive? Is there a website they can go to? Young ladies who might be looking for answers right now, where can they go?
Yeah, what I would love to have you do is go to thrivealivestl.org and think about helping to rescue a child, thrivealivestl.org. And if you need help yourself, you can go there as well, and we'll help you get connected to services.
Bridget, thank you so much. God bless. We'll be right back on Larry Connors USA.
Thanks, Randy.
Bye-bye. You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned. For three generations, 65 years, Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTNER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Millennials, also referred to as Generation Y, are the generational group who follow Generation X and are typically categorized as people born between 1980 to the mid-1990s. Millennials are also sometimes referred to as Echo Boomers due to a major surge in birth rates in the 1980s and 90s. Generation Z, or Gen Z, is the generational group that came after the Millennials, born between the mid-1990s up to the mid-2000s. Generation Z is also referred to as the iGeneration, iGen, or postmillennials. How do these generations compare?
Well, we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about millennials. I know a little bit more about them than others. I'm not a millennial. I'm a boomer. But I have two millennial children, and I see how they function in today's world. And this is not a mean. Sometimes people are mean to millennials. They say, oh, they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. That's not true. But maybe yours don't. Mine don't have to work. So, no, I'm just kidding. They're great. So I'm not going to be mean, but it's just a little bit lighter to close our program today. So you can just rest up a little bit before Larry's return. I know you have to be prepared for, because he will be locked and loaded. I know that for sure. I'm more just loaded. Sorry. Okay. So I saw an article recently on millennials. And those are like my children, like I said. And some of the things that they no longer do and that could be lost forever if they don't change their habits and their spending habits. I wasn't really too surprised, but some of them are a little surprising. But here are the things that millennials no longer have need for. Warehouse shopping. Now, you know how big that was? It was hard going to the store, and you have to go to the store every, you know, once or twice a week and pick up your stuff. Now you can go to Sam's and to Costco and pick up barrels of food at one time and have everything you need. I think we may have to start doing that and store some stuff in our basement for the future, but that's a whole other story. So back, the warehouses came out and helped people, allowed consumers to buy whatever they needed in bulk. But the millennials, they're more inclined to shop remotely, online. And you know what? Actually, so am I, to be honest. I think a lot of us are. Especially during COVID, it became too easy. Now, the delivery thing was nice. You could have everything from McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, the grocery store, delivered at home. And for shut-ins today and for people that can't get out, that's amazing. It costs a little bit more, but actually, I don't know if you know, there's a delivery fee, but even the groceries you buy and the food you buy is priced more expensively if you have it delivered. I don't know if you knew that, but look on the menu and then look at what you pay. Tricky, but interesting. But that's how millennials want to go. They're willing to spend their parents' money on that kind of stuff. So, okay, that was a little mean, but true. Doorbells. They have no use for doorbells. Do you know why? Because when a millennial arrives at your door, when they pull in the driveway, they text you, I'm here. I'm in the driveway. Come get me. They don't even need to go to the door anymore. They announce their arrival by text. I thought this was interesting, and I have read some stuff on this. They no longer use fabric softener. There are a lot of reasons at that, but I read some things. Interestingly, that fabric softener has suffered a downward turn in recent years because it's believed that it messes up your clothes. It actually isn't good for your clothes, and it clogs up your washing machine if you put fabric softener. I did not know that. There's online YouTube videos on how to clean your washing machine that's messed up because of fabric softener. So the millennials are smart on that one, I believe. No more fabric softeners. Now, this one's interesting, but I think I kind of understand it. They're not into life insurance. Well, first of all, they're never going to die. You know, if you talk to some millennials, nothing's going to happen to us. I have life insurance, and don't tell them, but I have life insurance on my children because they may need it if, you know, their family may need it. But that's just a thing that they don't do anymore. They don't buy life insurance. I don't know if some life insurance people could speak to that in a little more detail, but planning for the future can often be daunting, and that's something they don't want to do. Another thing, surprisingly, they don't get into gym memberships. They're not going to gyms like they used to. Why? Because they're running a lot on their own. They have their home gyms. They have those, of course, I wouldn't know what they are, but those machines you get on and run and watch the people. I've never seen one personally, but I've seen the ads on TV. A couple other real quick things, lottery tickets, buying houses. I just had my children, one of my daughter just bought a new house, and I know how traumatic that can be. But fortunately, they sold a house in Alaska, and they're moving to Ohio, and they can buy two houses in Ohio. So God bless them. They're not new to movie theaters, again, online. They're not going to McDonald's, and that's for a lot of reasons, which I won't talk about. My wife will not go to McDonald's either. But when you got good burgers at Five Guys, you know, either way. They don't use bars of soap. I don't use bars of soap either in the shower. My wife has this squeezy, foamy stuff that I really, really like. That's beside the point. Okay, that's enough on that on millennials. What about what's coming up? We've only got a minute left, but who's going to be running for president? Governor Pritzker from Illinois. He said this.
Pritzker wants to run for president. Look at his performance at home. We're losing people. We're losing jobs. We're losing businesses to better run states.
A longtime Democratic consultant here told me he thinks a Pritzker run for the White House in 2024 is a real long shot. But he does believe the governor's taking a look at it.
Well, good for him. Governor Pritzker said it's a possibility. You know, he's ruined Illinois. Let him ruin the nation, right? Ron DeSantis may be our Republican guy. He's getting some pretty good poll numbers. Trump is still kind of number one in the Republican side. Well, it's been great filling in for Larry these past couple of days. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. Larry will be back. Is he going to be back tomorrow? Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow. Awesome. So until then, this is Randy Meavis saying goodbye. God bless. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.